Reminded me of the story. One Ramadan was sitting with his dervishes and they were waiting for the time to break their fast, and they have seen this big boat in the river, and there were women and men together, and they were drinking and they were kissing, and that's Ramadan. And the dervishes said, Ya Sheikh, curse them. And he was very angry at them. And he opened his hands and he said, Ya Rabbi, you know, make them as happy in the hereafter as they are now. And all of a sudden they threw the bottles on the something, and the woman covered themselves and everything else. Right? That we are so easily tempted to criticize and to curse people who seem to do the wrong thing. And we are told that whenever this happens, whenever you see a drunkard or a thief or a you know, bad guy, I think before you curse him and before you are angry at him and before you criticize him, is to really ask yourself, you know, whether you have the same thing in you. And I assure you, you will find it. Because if you didn't have the same thing in you, you wouldn't be able to identify it even. So, the thing to do when you see that you have got it in you too, and to pray to Allah Ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, let me get rid of this horrible thing in me, and also please help this brother of mine to get rid of it also. But who does that? I mean, this is what I mean, you know, as a Muslim. And give me a Muslim like that, I will kiss his feet. See, we sit with our women together. They sit together there, and we sit together here. And we don't lock them somewhere where nobody can see them, and they cannot see us. I am sure majority of the Muslims, not only the zealots, but even tariqah people, would criticize us for that. Now I remember that once we went to the Hajj, so you know, we took our wives to a restaurant, and they didn't want to take them. And I was so angry, and I asked him, "Do you have a mother? Yeah, and is she a woman? And don't you feed them?" You know, I mean, well, what kind of Islam is that? Yeah. It is a fact that at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were continuously 12 women in his presence. And thanks to those mothers of ours, we have got the Quran al-Kareem. They were the ones who knew how to read and write. And they were the ones, you know, when the revelations came, they wrote it down. I don't know whether they had their heads covered or not. I don't know. But the point is that they were there right back then. You know? They were right there. Listening to him. In the Hajj, we are like that. But do it in Pakistan. Thank you. in Istanbul, they're not there. I don't know, maybe I am doing wrong. We will see when I go to the other side. But in the Mahshar, I am sure we will be together too. our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the sinners will come out of their graves nude, you know, and Hazrat Aisha said, men and women? He said, yeah. Ya Rasulullah, how is that possible? He said, it is such a horrible situation that they won't see anybody, you know, whether they are nude or not. Yeah. And I remember that one of our dervish in Istanbul one day came to complain, my effendi, Muzaffar effendi, did you hear about him? And he said, effendi, how do you expect us to be chaste, you know, when the woman run around with short skirts and in bikinis and this and that? And he held his, come here, he had. He pulled this like that. Effendi, what are you doing? He said, what's this? This is my eyelid. And he said, why do you think Allah Ta'ala has created it to save you from dust and dirt? He said, why don't you close it when looking in front of you instead of looking at them? Well, to change the subject, does anybody have a question? Talk about something else? See, I said to the young lady that, like for instance in Bosnia, many of the mosques, the Serbs destroyed. And you know, but we did help one mosque to build something to do. Yes. Well, that was sort of what I'm going to do. but I don't really give any money for anybody who builds a mosque. I don't. Allah Ta'ala says that for a Muslim, everywhere is a mosque, except the graveyard and the bathroom. You know, you can make your prayers any place which is nice and clean. You know, in your house, in the garden, you know, in the landscape, whatever you want. I mean, you don't have to have a mosque to make your prayers. But if somebody is hungry, you have to feed them. If somebody is wounded, you have to take care of their wound. If somebody doesn't have a school, you have to, you know, build a school to make them, you know, go to a school. Gitti mi kız?
Efendim? Burada. Burada herhalde babacığım. Yalnız kime yapacağımı bilemedim ben onu. Boş bıraktım yani.
Burada.
Yok.
Sadakadan yani.
İsmini yazacağız.
Oraya yaz, yazsın.
Tamam. İsmini. Başına bakacağım.
Dışarıda gel bak.
Well, what should we talk about? Okay, so, yeah.
Babacığım, let me...
Ne diyor, dinle.
Let me read Yasin-i Şerif. Or like Hatim, we give the ajr to, you know, some of our ancestors. We try to, you know, give the sawab of it, or some others. Is there any I don't feel comfortable when I say this plus this, or like, is there any like limit to say names about it. I don't know.
You can limit the number of people you can distribute it.
That's not my
Hatim, hatim getiriyoruz, bazen Yasin okuyoruz ve sevabını ölmüşlerimize bağışlıyoruz. Bazen saymaya başlıyorum diyor ölmüşlerimizin ismini ama o kadar çok sayıyorum ki diyor, mahcup oluyorum diyor. Yani bunun bir sınırı var mı diyor. Sınırı var mı diyor, bunları göndereceğim ölmüş sayımda bir sınır var mı diyor.
Yani
the life it is better don't I'm not saying to you not to do that but it is better that if you feed somebody you know or you help a poor person and ask Allahu Ta'ala to send the if there is any reward for it to send it to the dead, I feel that is better. It is said that every Friday night and every Monday night, the dead come to their children's door like a beggar, and they somehow they beg. From the children or from the people who knew them to somehow help them. So my sheikh used to say that the best thing is to do is to recite 2,000 salawat and to send it to the blessed soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask for his intercession to the ones who have passed away. But the truth is that we usually think that the good deeds and the bad deeds written by those two angels sitting on our right shoulder and left shoulder, when you die, that's finished. Your book is closed. But your book is not closed. That in Islam, there is something which is called Sadaqa-i Jariya. Sadaqa-i Jariya is that if you do something for the public good, if you build a mosque, as long as the people who pray in that mosque, you know, the reward goes to the people who are dead, you know, of your family. If you build a school, as long as people go to school and learn things in the school, so it goes to them. If you build a bridge, as long as people pass that bridge, if you build an orchard, as long as people eat apples from there, etc., etc., etc., that the good goes to precisely to you, you know, after you are dead. But there is very interesting thing is that in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, better than building a mosque, building a hospital, building a school, building a bridge, is if you leave behind when you go to the hereafter a child, which is a good child, which is a good Muslim, that is the best sadaqah jariyah. So I mean, if you are a good person, it's a good Muslim, you know, that it's more important than the Surah Yasin or the Hatim which you do for your parents.
Cihan'ın bir sorusu var babacığım.
Evet, dinliyoruz.
Ya selamun aleyküm baba. In many surahs in Quran-ı Kerim it says, you know, we seal their hearts and ears, you know, referring to some, and some not obviously, and people who, like, you know, kids are born into the same family, have the same upbringings, one becomes a good Muslim, the other becomes just the opposite. So, like, I tend to think that, I mean, one maybe is born with a sealed heart and one is open. Is that the case here, or...
Kur'an-ı Kerim'de şöyle bir ayet var. Biz onların gözlerini, kulaklarını mühürledik diye. Bazı aileler var ki içindeki bireylerden bir kısmı gayet iyi Müslüman olarak yetişiyor. Bazı aileler, aynı ailede, aynı kültürle yetişenlerden bazıları da dinsiz oluyor. Acaba diyor, bazen düşünüyorum, bunlar doğarken mi kalpleri mühürlendiği için mi aynı ekmeği, suyu, kültürü yaşamasına rağmen biri Müslüman oluyor, biri olmuyor?
There is an ayet in the Quran which says that he who is going to revolt against Allahu Teala is already decided in his mother's womb, and he who is going to be a Sayyid, is who's going to obey to Allahu Teala, is going to be a Muslim, is decided in the womb of his mother. Now this is the same thing, but even worse. What you say, no? And Allah is the just. You know, there is no injustice in Allah Ta'ala, and it comes, astaghfirullah, to the mind of some people. Say, what kind of justice is that? You know, I mean that one is born that way. Hazreti Abdülkadir Geylani, Kudüs-i Serrahül Fettah, he says that in this case the womb of the mother is the world. Now, it is a fact though that it is true that some people right in this room, it is harder for them to do the things which we have been talking about tonight, no? Than some other people. So for some other people, it's almost like the angels which I was talking about, it is very easy, you know, to do those things, you know, to behave like a Muslim, to have adab Muhammadi, and to do one's prayers and to fast during Ramadan, and it's very easy for them. And to some of them, it is extremely difficult. You see, so this is for it's your nature. You are born with this. Each of us, you know, we are very different from each other. Now, you tell me, as a human being, if you had two friends, one of them, it is very easy to be kind and gentle and this and that, and the other guy is really a choleric. He's an angry guy, but he's trying really extremely hard, you know, to be gentle and kind and forgiving and giving. Now, which one would you really appreciate? The one which is naturally nice, and the other guy, he is really killing himself, you know, against his nature, who's trying to be nice. Which one in your book would be, you know, you would appreciate more? Yeah, the one who's having a hard time to be nice. Well, so it's exactly the same thing. And Allahu Ta'ala is probably, astaghfirullah, Allah knows best, but he probably also appreciates the one, you know, who is born a choleric and angry, mean guy, who is trying very, very hard in his life to be like a Muslim. Yeah? So there is your answer. But it's true. I mean, there are some people who somehow, in their nature, that they don't feel like believing in Allah Ta'ala. They don't feel like, you know, somehow doing their salat and becoming a Muslim and this and that. But if they try hard, they do.
Huh?
Bu haftanın.
The artist.
This is the artist. Have a come, come here.
Thank you.
But
thank you. I just say thank you.
Really, like very ingenious.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a deal with butterflies. I really like it. Yeah. The butterflies. One other deer's nose, the other one's tail.
The artist.
We shall treasure it forever. We will hang it up over my desk.
Baba.
Herhalde ezan okundu çoktan.
Namazı kıldık baba.
Kıldık doğru. Namazı kıldık.
Şeyhimin bir sorusu var galiba.
Ama ha?
Şeyhim bir şey söylüyor.
What does deer represent within me? Deer, yeah. The little girl drew the deer on the... What does it represent within me?
Within you.
Yeah, within human being.
Bu küçük çocuğun çizdiği resimdeki ceylanın bizde bir iç dünyamızda bir manası var mı? Bu ceylan hayvanının.
Bilmiyorum.
I don't know.
There is the story of Hazreti Beyazit el-İslam and the Ceylan, you know, which talks to him and says, yeah, Bayezid has Allah created you for this when he is about to kill him. That's the only thing which I can think of. Of course, I heard from my sheikh say that is the link between the animal kingdom and the human kingdom. Horses. But maybe it's a Turkish thing.
Divine Human Kingdom kitabınız üzerine bir
ne kitabı?
Divine
Memleketul İnsaniye.
Memleketul İnsaniye'nin tercümesi Divine Kingdom of Human Being kitabınız var ya tercümesi.
Aha, evet.
Onunla ilgili ben bir workshop yaptım diyor.
Ha.
Pakistan'da.
Bu Hazreti İbn Arabi'nin kitabı.
Evet.
The way I translate these books is not word by word.
Yes, it was your commentary.
Because especially back in Ibn Arabi, yes. If you really, I mean, we see some European scholars, you know, translating them, you can't understand
yes.
at all. So. What I do is that I read a page, I read a sentence, I read a paragraph, or I read a chapter sometimes, and I try very hard to understand it. Then I try to translate it into a language which I would understand easier, and the language which I know my people would understand easier, and so it becomes understandable. Now, and inshallah, I am not making mistakes. I try not to, you know, to make any mistakes. And for instance, in that book, you can sit down and read that book, and it's you know, you can understand everything which it says, right?
Yes. I did the same. I took your book, your commentary, I read it, and then I tried to put it for the students and make it into a workshop.
Ben de sizin komentarınızı aldım. Kendi anladığım şekilde kendi komentarımı koydum.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because some Sufi sheikhs, they established almost a secret vocabulary, you know, and so that they can communicate with each other while the others cannot understand what they are saying. And you have to get into that. But you know that the so-called non-Muslim scholars, they get awfully angry with people like me. And for instance, there is this book of Hazrat Abdul Qadir Geylani, Quddus Sirrahu Fatahu, in it. I wrote a biography of his. From birth till his death, totally stories. And of course, infuriates them. They say, but none of this is true. Those are the things which were told by people who loved them, you know. But that's the truth.
Yes.
What people who love them, isn't it?
I mean,
who are going to listen? People who hate him, you know, or people who love him. Yeah. I mean, but they get very angry. The same thing with Hazrat Ibn Arabi too. You know, I write their biographies from the Menkabes, you know, from the stories told about them. Because what it says, his father's name was so, and his mother's name was so, and his teacher them, what? You know, what does it mean? I mean, everybody has a mother and a father, you know, and a teacher. What people thought of them is what they are, but what people who loved them thought of them is what they were. So what does this young man do?
He works
for BBC in Islamabad.
Ne yapıyormuş?
İslamabad'da BBC'de çalışıyor.
Aha. I worked for BBC too in 1940s. I was a sports reporter. I even was in a play, you know. I remember I was one of the crowd in Sirkeci station in BBC. In fact, always Bülent Ecevit also worked for Can Yücel also worked for BBC in London. Where are you going to work? You know, to make money, you know. Everybody works for BBC. Pakistan is a mess. It is so unfortunate. I mean, you know, it was India, right?
Yes.
I mean, Indians and Muslims during the English colonization, they were one nation, right?
Yes.
And look what's happening in India, you know? Mm-hmm. And look what's happening to Pakistan. I mean, India, there is still the, how do you call them, untouchables?
Untouchables.
So they are the, and yes. The Muslims, of course, which they are beating on.
Yes.
You know, economically and this and that, and there is a unity and that. And look at Pakistan, it's a disaster. Mm. I mean, it's a disaster. I mean, you haven't had a decent government since what was his name? Since Nehru? No, Nehru was no, not Pakistani.
No, Pakistan. No,
India.
What was? You had one decent at the beginning. What was his name?
Muhammad Ali Jinnah.
Yeah, I think that you had one at the very beginning. Yes. You know, Jinnah. Who were sort of decent, and from there on, it was a disaster. And we're supposed to be more gentle. Some of the Pakistanis are worse than the Wahhabis, seems to me.
Yeah, there are many Wahhabis.
May Allah help us. What do you call